Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chef from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Tip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Chef, 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 Chef,
yeah.
Connecticut.
This is Blazer, loosened up the tie, step aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, what's going on? It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm, getting this thing popping. Welcome into the month of May, where there's a mess in this doggone kitchen. I got to clean up as best as I possibly can. I got cups. I got plates. I got pizza boxes in the doggone kitchen. I can't believe this is going on, but welcome to the brunch. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes or more here in the kitchen. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chef. The mess that is behind and in this building is the NFL draft. Some people call it Christmas Eve. Some people call it Christmas. I don't know what it is for me. I feel like it's just me looking at the stocking and hoping I could get something good inside the stocking. But we'll dig into this as best we possibly can. Falling out of the region of Colorado, we have Big Easy, a.k.a. Eric Gross, in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Good morning, my brother. I'm feeling great. Excited to talk about some of the things that went down in the draft. I want your take of what happened with the Lions, man. I was hoping they were going to get some big weapons. They did get a cornerstone piece in Powell, but, yeah, I'm excited to talk about this, bud.
And also calling in by way of the region of Florida, by way of the region of New Jersey, we have Ryan in the building. Ryan, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm doing amazing.
Okay,
absolutely
flat out.
Amazing,
dog. Okay. We'll get in there as best we possibly can. Got a lot to jump into. I want to, you know, see where people are. We got an amazing race going on in the NBA, seeing how these teams are panning out. Nobody wants to die, or I don't even know if that's the right term for me to use, or people, none of these teams want to quit if possible. But, you know, we also have MMA. I don't know who's moving, but please stop moving. There's a lot of feedback on whoever's moving. Please stop moving.
Yeah, that's bad there, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I can't talk through it, so I'm going to try to do the best that I can. Yeah, so first and foremost, there was an MMA bout, Prozhakha, beat Dominic Reyes. I don't know if people seen it, but it was one of those hits that you can't miss, and he did a spinning elbow and knocked him out. And it was a crazy knockout. I know a lot of people don't follow or mess with UFC, but I know people there. And it's pretty interesting that the fight that's coming to my state, I will be leaving. So I'm pretty mad because the person that's fighting this Saturday, I know, which is Anthony Rumble Johnson, is mad that I can't support him while he's here. But I can support him in spirit. But Dominic Reyes did lose to Jiří Prozhakha with the spinning elbow. If you did not see that elbow or knockout, please watch it. It happened in the second round with 4 minutes and 29 seconds. And in the city that I love so much, in Las Vegas, and just hearing all of the the hoopla around this fight, but just knowing that this fight had a very interesting turn while Prozaska basically had a good run in this fight and bloodying up Reyes, but then the second round came around and that knockout was pretty epic. I don't know if you guys caught it or want to talk about it. I'll come to you first on this one. If you have seen it or not, let me know. I'll get through this quickly. It was just something I wanted to kind of like appetizer this one out and then get through it. How did you see it, if so?
Yeah, unfortunately, Timeless, I'm going to keep it real here. I did not catch what went down this week, so.
Okay, no problem. This will help me quickly. And, Ryan, how about you? I don't know if you caught the fight or seen the knockout. Your thoughts on it, and I'll get past it.
No, I'm Timeless. I didn't catch the fight. I was too operating on the draft, unfortunately.
Okay, no problem. No problem. All right, so that was an epic knockout. So I guess I got everybody for the fever of the flavor for this NFL draft and seeing how some of these teams had done draft grade-wise, things of that nature. And I'm actually done cleaning up, but I know I'm going to have to get a lot of this food back out of here on the table. I'll come to you first. Ryan, your thoughts on the NFL draft? I'll try to go team by team. Don't try to give too much because I want to get, like, perspectives on how teams went. But your thoughts on this NFL draft, I'm going to say this. There was a lot of electricity in the building. A lot of these teams did not miss. And there's a good amount of talent coming out of these colleges, to say the least. But I don't think too many teams went too far off. I'll dig into that once we start grading and things of that nature for these teams. But overall, how do you feel about the draft and a lot of these players that came out? How do you feel?
I feel like very few teams missed, and I feel like the reason why is because there was so much talent in later rounds because there were so much of the people who sat out left in those later rounds, and you've got really good talent in later rounds in those 4, 5, 6, 7 rounds, that you got steals of the draft, like real gems back in those rounds. So where you normally wouldn't get a gem, you got a real gem.
Okay, and E, how about you? How do you feel overall? I don't want to dig into teams yet because I'm going to kind of want to get into as much of these teams as possible, breaking them down, and if any of you guys can go with me on looking at, like, team by team and seeing, like, overall how they looked and did within this draft. But overall in this draft, how do you feel things went, Eric?
Oh, yeah, Timeless. Well, definitely, I'm looking forward to going team by team here shortly. But overall, I think this was one of the best draft classes we're going to see in a long time. Just what was mentioned, you had these gems going in the later round. This draft was full of talent. We saw the first time in NFL history quarterbacks go number 1, 2, and 3. So what worries me, and, we can look at history here, gentlemen, typically first-round quarterbacks do not pan out in this league. It's the quarterbacks that were drafted in the later rounds. Rarely does a guy get drafted that high and pan out. It's a rarity. It does happen, but it's a rarity in the NFL throughout history. So I'm eager to see Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance, if these guys are able to make an immediate impact with their teams. These guys are full of talent. They got great football IQs. As a 49er fan, I was happy. I was like, they better draft Justin Fields or Trey Lance. If they draft Mac Jones, I am not watching my team this year. I was extremely mad at Kyle Shanahan. So I'm happy with that. And we're going to hopefully see, like, the Jaguars and maybe the poor Jets get out of their funk. The Jaguars had a really good first-round draft. They got good top-three talent in all three of their picks in the first round. So we'll see if they're able to turn the corner. But overall, I was happy with the draft. Like the Falcons, they went out and got Pitts. We were talking on the show a week before and the consensus was the Falcons need to go out and get defense. This team has offensive weapons. They're lacking on the defensive side of the ball. So they definitely got one of the best players in the draft. No argument there, but defense is the key. So, but I was happy with the draft. Like I said, it's one of the best draft class we're going to see in a long time. This draft is going to produce stars in this league.
Okay, so I kind of want to go by how, like, I'll start with the first round and the teams and things of that nature. Or better yet, just do teams that kind of just fizzle out all of their picks. So I'll go with Jacksonville since they were the first pick. This is a very excellent situation that Jacksonville did come out in the draft and make this thing work. I don't know how this will pan out in the NFL, but in the college run, but not only for them to get Trevor Lawrence, they also got his running back where these guys were amazing in Clemson and getting Travis Etienne too. I did not think that it would pan out for them to be able to get both of them back together, but the chemistry will already be there. They just have to implement the system and make that work. But overall, I want to see how you guys feel about how Jacksonville Jaguars did within this draft. Eric, I'll come right back to you. Travis Lawrence probably being the darling of the draft, and everybody in there were trying to get him. I was on him about 2 years ago wanting to get him in Detroit before Stafford left, and unfortunately Detroit didn't do bad enough to get to that spot. But your thoughts on Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, the other players that they have picked up in this draft, overall grade for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, like I just mentioned, timeless about the quarterbacks going, you know, number one like that. But I do believe Trevor Lawrence is he's going to be able to make an immediate impact. I'm looking forward to seeing how Urban Meyer and him get along, the chemistry that builds there. And like you just said, Travis Etienne getting back together with him. They also got Tyson Campbell, a good quality cornerback out of Georgia. They went out and got Walker Little, a good offensive tackle out of Stanford. So this team is putting the pieces together to be a winner. We all saw just not long ago this team was an AFC championship team, and they kind of imploded, got rid of their pieces. So I'm eager to see if the culture is going to change there in Jacksonville. They're all pumped up. Their fans are pumped up. They got a new coach, and they do have pieces together now to make this team a winner, just not, you know, starting next year, but for the foreseeable future, this team will get better and better, especially with Lawrence's development. They got some good young wide receivers there already, so I'm looking forward to it. I think Jacksonville, in my eyes, they get an A-plus for what they did with the draft. So just bringing Etienne back together and with that chemistry that him and Lawrence already have, that's huge. And for them to be able to pull that off, I think it's great for them. And I'm looking forward to seeing the Jaguars getting out of the dumps. And it's going to be fun to watch this team this year, Ty.
Ryan, your thoughts on Jacksonville? I agree, at least an A, at least an A. The big pick that I have outside of Etienne and Trevor Lawrence is Luke Farrell, the tight end out of Ohio State. I don't know how he fell this low. And out of Ohio State, him to fall to Jacksonville to be a key piece, I think he can instantly start at the tight end position. This dude is huge and has good speed to be his size. Your thoughts on this draft for Jacksonville, any other players that we may have missed? But I'm extremely high on Farrell. I can't believe that he dropped that low.
I don't quite give them an A+. I do give them an A. My reason for that is, as much as they've played together, where I see them having helpfulness, knowing each other, I see it where when you're a receiver, it's more helpful. When you're a running back, not as helpful, because you should be able to turn and give the rock to just about anybody. It's more of blocking schemes and things of that nature where it's helpful knowing where he likes you to be. So, I can teach somebody that. That's something that's teachable. You know, I like that, but, it's not enough to get me to an A+. But, yeah, I'd give you an A for the draft, definitely. you've got a lot of good guys around your quarterback. You got a lot of good talent around him. So he can be successful at the next level. So he just has to prove himself.
Okay, and the thing that I at least give them an A on is like how they concentrated on needs. Of course, they needed to figure out at the quarterback position, even though I'm not mad at Gardner Minshew. Minshew has actually been a good quarterback. This past season, he was injured. They had a carousel of quarterbacks for the past couple of years. They're trying to put this together with the receiver core. They picked up a receiver as well. They also took a receiver from Detroit named Marvin Jones, so they actually have a veteran down there to try to kind of help things out down there in Jacksonville also. But they did focus all draft long on defense, too, so that was the one thing that set them back. A lot of things that was happening in Jacksonville, they were giving up too many points and losing these games late, whether it was the passing scheme or up front trying to defend a run, they couldn't do it. And this is something that I feel Jacksonville concentrated on. So at least an A, I really want to dive into that A-plus because they focus on every need and hit home on it, not only at the quarterback, the running back position. They also have a tight end that I told you I'm enamored with. They concentrated on a defensive backfield, which with the cornerbacks that they picked up and a safety as well, and Andre Sisco. That's huge for them to be focused on that back end. And also like Tyson Campbell, a guy out of the SEC, that's pretty big coming from Georgia. So I do want to give Jacksonville their flowers for what they've done in this NFL draft. Now, the next team is going to bother me a bit more because this was the guy that I wanted personally but could not get him in the New York Jets. The Jets actually go out into the first round of this draft and get the quarterback that I was high on, and Zach Wilson. I was really hoping Zach Wilson could fall to Detroit, but New York said, oh, no, we're going to get him. A lot of people question his ability to be good with the pressure coming to him. That is one of his weaknesses because he didn't face a lot of pressure while he was in the division that they were in coming from BYU. But this guy can make every single throw on the field. And he's basically made people, you know, widen their eyes and raise their eyebrows at the same sight. But he is going to New York. It is a big market. If he falls off the wagon, they will not have any mercy. This is the one thing that I'm worried about with Zach Wilson. But they had a couple of good picks in this draft that I do want to give quality to. Michael Carter, the quality running back out of North Carolina, who I saw a great deal from being a North Carolina guy. They also got a Michael Carter in the defensive backfield at the safety position also. Jonathan Marshall, a defensive tackle out of Arkansas, a big beast up front, a cornerback, and Brandon Echols. And the crazy part about Brandon Echols, he's faced a lot of quality quarterbacks while being in the SEC. And the one thing that actually hurt the Jets were their corners, especially with Desir getting burnt left and right, including in that game up against the Raiders where the Jets had the game and they gave up a big bomb to Derek Carr. And that was the end of that game where they could actually upset the Raiders, and the Raiders came back and won that late. These are a couple quality picks. I want to see how you guys feel about it. Eric, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on the New York Jets and if Zach Wilson could turn this thing around for Ben Green.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. The Jets, you know, their fans are very loyal, and we all know how the fans in New York are timeless. So you touched on a good point. Is he going to be able to handle this pressure? Because if he doesn't get off to a good start, you know, the grumblings, and it's going to happen right off the bat. So I think this was the best choice. Just like you, I wish the Niners could have somehow got this guy, but the Jets were smart. Because before this draft was happening, like up until the first month, they weren't sure on who they were going to pick. And it's like, you guys, are you kidding me? Like, Zach Wilson is the automatic number two choice here. There should be no ifs, ands, or buts. So it's a good thing they went out and got him. They also beefed up their offensive line, going out with the 14th overall pick, getting Elijah Tucker from USC. I think that's a good pick because we all talked about if you don't have a good offensive line, it doesn't matter who you have quarterback in or your running back, it's going to be a long day for you. So you got to have protection. Elijah Moore out of Mississippi, you know, we'll see how that pans out. I think they could have, you know, went a different route there. But the Michael Carter, that was a good pickup. I agree with you there. Jamie and Sherwood also out of Auburn. I think that's a steal in the draft in the fifth round. I think he's a quality linebacker, could do good things in this league. So overall, I'm happy with the Jets did, man. I give them a solid B+. So It looks like they got Robert Saleh. We all know he's a great coach. He's going to bring a winning mentality there. He's got enthusiasm. He's a player's coach. So I think Gangrene is going to be turning the corner here. I think the future's bright for him.
Do we know about Robert Saleh, or do you know about Robert Saleh? No, I'm joking around. I know a good deal about him, too, and I wanted him to come to Detroit, man. Him being a Michigan guy, he grew up minutes away from Detroit. And, of course, Detroit goes with a tight end that they used to play with their team in the mid-2000s. But hopefully he could get this thing turned around. I know he's defensive savvy. My question is on how Zach Wilson could go from, you know, a humble situation out west, being in Utah with BYU and coming to New York, the big city bright lights, and trying to make MetLife a green situation and not a blue situation, or leave it a blue situation, kind of turn that thing over. Ryan, your thoughts on the situation with the Jets, how they move forward, also with Zach Wilson now running the show in New York?
I feel like the Jets overall did a great job. I give them a B+. However, I think their top draft pick, Zach Wilson, is not working out. I feel like he's the bust of the draft. I honestly do. Because we all know guys in this league do one of two things under pressure. They either make diamonds or they bust pipes. And I feel like he's a bust pipes kind of guy.
I mean, can you tell me the reasoning on why you feel how bad Zach Wilson is? I defer heavily.
Because when you put on his tape, in pressure situations, he makes the wrong decision. He throws to the wrong spot. He's not a guy who's good under pressure on tape.
I think that they will I'm hoping that they could do better up front with their offensive line, because that was a question mark for the Jets' offensive line, letting a lot of stuff get to Sam Darnold. But the one thing that I differ from Wilson to Darnold is that Wilson is a scrambler. Like, he can run and pick up yardage, and this is something that actually made a lot of defenses worry, is that he's able to escape pressure and either make a run off the throw. Even off the off leg, he can make the throw. And hit. And listen, at one point in time in the season, he was completing 81% of his passes. That is absurd. Like, so if he's able to slow that down in front of him, he's going to be working with coaches that are basically going to work on that. They know what they're dealing with up front. And I'm not to say that he's going to hit the ground running like how Ben Roethlisberger hit in 2004, you know, running the show. But I'm like, if he's able to bring anything to that Jets team and be a better passer of the ball than what Sam Darnold has been, and don't get to talk in the microphone saying, I see ghosts, I am not watching Zach Wilson be the bust of the draft. That's from what I'm hearing, you're comparing that to a Ryan Leaf situation out the gate. I do not see Ryan Leaf on Zach Wilson at all. I don't see it. I beg to differ heavily. I'll agree to disagree. I really feel like this is a stud. They knew what they were going after. And as long as the receivers can get open for him or just get a step, he's fine. He's fine. But we have to worry about what they kept in that organization, because they got rid of some quality pieces, and getting rid of Robbie Anderson didn't help them a year or two ago, sending him to Carolina. So the Jets organization, maybe. But with him, I don't know. I beg to differ.
But I also know one thing about this league, correct?
Great football IQ, too, and he has an unbelievable ability to read the field. So, and he gets himself out of those situations. He's a scrambler. He can throw on the run just as good as anybody. So, yeah, he's going to have to transition that to the pros, but I don't think he's going to have a problem with that. He's just going to get better and better, especially if he's the coaching staff. You know, it's all going to go down to the organization and the coaching staff. So that's what it's going to go boil down here. And I would not compare him to Ryan Leaf. He's already got the jump on Ryan Leaf. Ryan Leaf had an arm. That was the thing with him. He had a big arm. He didn't have the discipline and the IQ that Zach Wilson has.
But, Ty, we also know one thing about this league, right? Once this league gets some tape on you, they figure you out.
I don't think it's the same situation that they
have to adjust to. That's the nature of the game, and I think he'll have no problem doing that.
And I don't think it's to the same situation or capacity that Sam Darnold had, because Sam Darnold is the one that would stare and look down his receivers, and that didn't change. Like, he would fall in love with a route and stick with it, and those corners and safeties would jump those routes and pick him off. And at the same time, they brought a little bit of different sides or situational packages to send the pressure at him to make him get the ball off and throw that so they could really jump the route and turn him over. I really feel like Carolina's in a bad situation with Darnold, but we'll see how that pans out. I really don't want to judge Darnold from what I've seen with him in USC, as well as him being in a Jets uniform. But ever since the Patriots did everything to him and butchering him, and he told his coaching staff that he see ghosts, that bothers me. If he could turn the corner and turn the Carolina Panthers around, I'd tip my hat. But in comparison to, you know, the way that you're looking at Zach Wilson, I know other people may feel the same way because they said that was a weakness of his with him dealing with pressure. That's one, like, bad attribute. Like, everything else, he's hitting on all cylinders. I don't know. But we'll see.
And I just want to comment, too, really quick, Timeless. The case can be made for anybody. You even put Tom Brady under pressure, and he's not going to be the quarterback. It doesn't matter who you are at quarterback. If you're under pressure constantly, it's going to affect you. It's just the way it is. So very few quarterbacks can deal with being under pressure every play and get quality passes off. So it just to be fair, you can put anybody in that boat. All you got to do is bring pressure, and it's going to – we talked about it before the Super Bowl. That's what Kansas City is going to have to do. They're going to have to put pressure on Brady all game. So.
And, of course, we know how that story went. They didn't, and that song still goes, there's a story of a guy named Brady. So, let me keep on moving.
And we know how Brady's story goes. Brady met the Giants, and the Giants routed that.
How long ago was that? That was a decade ago?
No, that wasn't. Maybe.
It's a decade ago, 2011, right?
Yeah.
We got them twice. Hey, that's fine. Listen, a lot of things happened in 10 years. I was in my 30s. I'm scratching at 40 now. Like a lot of things have changed.
I'm in that same boat. So we together, brother.
Right. So I'm not sticking around that narrative any longer. Listen, if the Giants feel like they have the edge, they beat him twice in the Super Bowl. He's won 7. Like I'm done with that. Like I had an argument the other day. People are still thinking that Peyton Manning is better than Brady. It's like, are you serious? Like, what? Like, is this a driving force? Do they want that to continue to keep going on? Like, let the dude retire. Like, I don't want to see him win 8 because people keep saying he can't do it. Like, no, I don't want to see Brady win 8 championships. It's already bad that we're hearing now. Why
hey, people don't realize, Timeless, my argument for Peyton Manning being a great quarterback and all this, yeah, no doubt. But he's definitely not in the greatest of all time in my list, not even close. I mean, the reason the Denver Broncos won that Super Bowl against the Panthers was strictly the defense. Peyton Manning threw 2 interceptions and no touchdowns in that game. So let's just keep it real.
I was in that conversation. You know, I was going all out for Brady, and that kills me.
I can't believe we are still here talking about Tom Brady. This guy is father time. I mean, we broke it down on a show. This guy is a Hall of Famer. You can break his career up in 3 different, slots, and this guy's still, you know, pretty much the greatest. So it's insane.
Listen, Brian was there while these guys were trying to come at Brady. The argument that they had now, here goes the argument that they had. And it's funny because Ryan is a Giants fan and has the edge on Brady in the Super Bowl winning 2 up against him, right? And Ryan even debated or defended Brady. And here's the argument that they have now. This is the new narrative, quote unquote, that they have with Peyton Manning being better than Brady, right? Is that Brady's made 3 all NFL teams, and he made two all-NFL second teams. So that was the argument. They like, he's been in the league for 20, and he's made three. So it was like, I get the argument that Brady wasn't being named or the best quarterback in the league. Like, they, at that point in time, I guess they're being enamored with Peyton Manning in that run from, I guess, 2000 until now. But, like, okay, if we're looking at him, you know, three times, get it. But he's still able to get to the postseason and nail the coffin shut. Like, even if you're looking at him being a game manager, where I feel like that's an extreme disrespectful look, or if he's winning it three times and thinking that how a lot of these voters or writers are looking at a lot of these players, you could jumble them up right with the likes of how they didn't want to give T.O. a first ballot Hall of Fame bid. Like, these are the same type of people that they just pass judgment. Like, I'm no T.O. fan. I don't like T.O. I'm a big Moss fan. My brother was a Niner fan, so we would go at it on who was the better receiver, Moss or T.O. I'm Moss. He'd be T.O., but there's no way I'm looking at T.O. stats and saying T.O.'s not a first ballot Hall of Famer. They made T.O. wait 3 years to get into the Hall of Fame like he wasn't ready. This is the same voting people that got Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt sitting there waiting for years, and they were the best show on turf. Like, I'm not buying what these voters are saying. They're not passing the eye test. They making people brutally wait because they want to. Like, no, don't get me started on this one. Look, let me continue. Let me continue. This will be another argument for another day.
Also, the same guys that have held Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame.
Well, Barry's not going to get into the Hall of Fame due to the quote-unquote use of steroids with all of the names that they're holding out, so I feel bad. And that's baseball. That's a whole other committee of people that we'll be digging into. So I'm going to give you something, Eric, but I'm going to go to Ryan first, the San Francisco 49ers. And, boy, did they shock me with the third pick in the draft. I did not think that they would be going with Trey Lance as their first pick. They go with a mobile quarterback that's strong, has a good arm, and could make a lot of throws. The one downside of this situation is that he has not played football in over a year, so they're going off a tape from 2019-2020. But I want to see how you guys feel about the Niners, their overall grade draft, and moving forward, especially in the NFC West. Ryan, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on Trey Lance being the pickup after everybody thought that it could potentially have been Mac Jones.
I loved going Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance is a stud at the next level. I really do. And I think the 49ers did an A-plus job in their drafting. They really did. They went out and got their needs filled. They got some guys who, when you put on that tape, they flash. And you and me, Ty, were talking about guys who flash on tape last night. And these guys flash when you put on the tape. You put on that tape and it just flashes. Those guys pop like, ooh, I better stop that guy. Because if I don't stop so-and-so, that's going to kill me every single time. So, yeah, they get an A-plus from me.
And here's one pick that I'm more enamored with, more than Trey Lance. Like, Trey Lance was a huge pickup for them at the quarterback position. I think they have a quarterback dilemma to start the season. I don't know what they're going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. I feel like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be there at the start of the season. All of the money that they threw to him, I think they're going to wait to see how much they can get out of him and kind of squeeze the juice out of the orange. If he's not the guy, then they're going to have to go with Trey Lance. But I like that they have a quarterback fight going on. But this is the guy that I'm more enamored with. Them going to get Trey Sermon, the running back out of Ohio State, if he didn't get hurt in that game for Ohio State up against Alabama, that game would have been a game because this guy's a gamer. He can hit home runs. He's strong and has ability to get to the second level and get beyond the third level. So, and this is one thing that the Niners are probably the strongest in the league in, is in their run game, especially with the running backs that they've been able to get. I'm biased because I'm a doggone Frank Gore fan. I love Frankie, but, I mean, Frank is gone now, but Frank has been a mainstay, especially on that Super Bowl run that they had with Kaepernick and how they were able to, you know, ram that ball down people's throats as best as possible. But, Eric, I know this is home for you. Your thoughts on how they open this thing up in Levi Stadium with this draft?
You know, I was very excited. I was nervous at first, like, oh, man, I hope they make the right decision with the number three pick, you know, and they did. Trey Lance, you know, my only thing was, like you touched on, he didn't play last year. But this is a guy that has tremendous physical, I mean, he's one of the most physical quarterbacks we've seen. I mean, this guy is a big dude. He can throw the ball. He can beat you with his legs, too. So I'm very excited about this timeless. I'm excited to see him and Garoppolo battle it out. I think the 49ers, they got their team back. They're not decimated by injury. And just before the draft and the moves they made getting their pieces back and bringing in some guys that they did, this team is elevated. At the, you know, they're going to be contending for that NFC championship. They're definitely the big dogs in the NFC West. I'm also excited that they got Aaron Banks. The 49ers already had a great, you know, offensive line, and now they just added another piece that can get in there and fill in. You know, I'm not sold on McGilchy, so maybe Banks could fill in and take his spot, but I'm excited about that pick, and I'm really excited about the Sermon pick. This is another guy that we talk about being late in the draft, a diamond in the rough. And to team him and Raheem Mozart teaming up, that's going to be a nice 1-2 tandem. They also went out and got some cornerback help, which they've addressed with bringing back key free agents. So this is only going to help their depth. We'll see how he pans out. But Ambry Thomas from Michigan is a pretty good cornerback. So overall, I'm very happy with their draft. They got the needs. We're set at the wide receiver spot. So the only thing is we went out and got Sermon, one of the best players available in the third round, and I was very happy that he landed right in our lap. So I'm excited for the season to start. Garoppolo, it's his job to lose in a sense just because the money, but, I mean, he can't stay healthy. I'm hoping Trey Lance gets in there and could learn this Shanahan offense right away and make an impact. So I don't know if Trey Lance is going to be the starter the first game of the season, but there is a good chance that it can happen. So I'm excited to see the preseason going. I'm like you, we talked about it. Preseason, they got rid of one game. I would rather have them keep the preseason game. We've all chopped it up. There's really, except the money, there's no reason why to extend the season to a 17-game season, you know. So the preseason is very important. This is when you find out what type of players you have on your team, and to get rid of a preseason game, I think that's going to hurt the development for some players getting out there and playing. So we'll have to see how that pans out. But overall, I give them an A for sure.
Yeah, I give them a quality grade for what they did in this draft. Like I told you, I was enamored with them getting Sermon being another running back that they could add to the stable. And Trey Lance is a big pickup at the quarterback position. This is the one thing that I look at it, these quarterbacks that are able to make moves on the ground is dealing with the fact that if the pressure comes, they could get away from it. Like, them being rookies, they're going to get, you know, overcautious and try not to take a sack or may throw the ball in a bad situation. At least they know they could pick up 3 or 5 yards to at least help move the chains in the next possession, you know, the next time they could snap the ball. So, looking at Trey Lance, know that this guy's a business decision for a lot of defenders to come up and make the play. It is college football that he was actually making a lot of these runs and taking contact and still able to pick up yardage downfield, but knowing that he has that knack, it's similar to me how I look at Jalen Hurts with the Philadelphia Eagles. Not to say that he's making the same plays that he was doing that while he was in Alabama and in Oklahoma, but knowing that he has that knack, that makes that defense stay honest. Because his quarterback could take off if things do break down. So I'm looking at the same thing for the Niners.
Yeah, he's a big guy too, Timeless. It's going to be hard to take him down too. You know what I mean? He's a physical specimen, so you also got to deal with that fact. It's not going to be an easy task to just go in and, you know, wrestle him to the ground. So he can scramble away. He's got the strength to get away. So it's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this is a good situation for the Niners. I don't know if they are the kings or the big dogs of the West, but this makes this an extreme fight to see who wins the NFC West. If it's the Rams with the addition of Stafford, if Russell Wilson is content with being in Seattle after making all of that smoke fly out of the state of Washington, or if Kyler Murray is the guy with all of the guns that he has at the wide receiver position. It is no longer just DeAndre Hopkins. And if Larry Fitzgerald stays, oh, my goodness, that offense is ridiculous with the pieces that they have at the receiver core. So we will see. I think they're trying to build a big team not only around Kyler, but with the addition of J.J. Watt as well. I think they're trying to do something special in Arizona. But we'll see. So speaking
of
teams,
it's definitely the NFC best, not the NFC West. It's the NFC best because just like you touched on, any of these teams can compete for the division.
Right. Any of the teams. You slow down. Don't say best. Don't say the NFC best.
The NFC
best. They all lost and got their heads taken off. They got their heads taken off last year. Stop it now. Stop it now. That'll be a whole other discussion, and you know how me and you will go at it. So hold your horses. That's another conversation for another day. The next team that starts with an A is the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons have probably one of the best steals of the draft, getting Kyle Pitts out of Florida. The hybrid tight end who can basically play receiver, has good quality speed, has a good size too. Looking at the draft for them, especially late in the draft for them to get another receiver in Frank Darby, they are letting me know that they are ready to get rid of Julio Jones. I am not content with them getting rid of Julio, but a lot of people are trying to paint the picture that he's been there for quite some time. He's 32, but I still think that he can make a difference on the field. But we'll see how this does end up panning out. They concentrated all across the ball, including at the cornerback position, going with Darren Hall out of San Diego State and Avery Williams out of Boise State. Two interesting cornerbacks at that position. I still feel like they could go on the back end to help Richie Grant, being another guy out of UCF with the secondary. Overall, I give them a B+. I want to see how you guys feel about Florida out the gate. I'll come to you first on this one, Ryan. You being a Gator fan, your thoughts on Pitts, the difference he can make with this team. There's already a good stable of tight ends there in Atlanta, but your thoughts on how the Falcons did in this draft.
Ty, you're right. There was a good stable of tight ends, but Kyle Pitts is a guy at tight end that can make a difference because he doesn't just play tight end. Not only can he play tight end, but I can put him out wide, and that dude can make a difference out wide. I can put him in the slot, and he can make a difference in the slot. So I have so many options with Kyle Pitts. That dude is trouble. Serious trouble when he's on the field. So I love what Atlanta went out and did. And I think Atlanta becomes dangerous. And I think as much as I was with you, Ty, why are you getting rid of Julio? Now it makes sense. When you went out and got the receivers you got, you went out and got Kyle Pitts. Yeah, now I'm sold on it because the money doesn't fit what you want to do. When you went out and you got some studs in the draft, okay, now go get rid of Julio. I'm cool with it now because now you'll have plenty of receiving help. You'll have plenty of people to help Matt Ryan when he wants to throw the rock. So now I'm cool with it. Now I give you about an A for the draft.
Okay, Eric, your thoughts on the draft overall for the Atlanta Falcons, and also I guess with the pickup of Kyle Pitts and also at the tight end position and also another receiver at the tail end of the draft. There's already been rumblings of them trying to listen to interesting situations to get a landing spot for Julio Jones. Are you buying that? Do you think that's a good thing or bad thing for the Falcons? Or should he be a mainstay for the Falcons? I mean, almost every quality receiver we could think of that has always been moved, except probably Torrey Holt, if I'm not mistaken.
The bottom line here, Timeless, is these guys are on glue. If they get rid of Julio Jones, why would you go out and get rid of one of the best wide receivers in all of football? Unless, of course, you're the Houston Texans. We all know that organization loves their glue. So, but the Atlanta Falcons, that would be a horrible move. You know, you bring in Kyle Pitts. So now you got two amazing weapons on the offensive side of the ball. You got to remember, the defense is, when you have a guy like Julio Jones, he's going to be double-teamed. A guy like Kyle Pitts double-teamed. Well, guess what? You can't double-team two receivers, so you're going to have to pick and choose. One of these guys is going to be open. And if you don't have that accommodation of two quality players like that, all you got to do is double the main one and then to test your luck with the second and third option. So, you know, to have a guy like Pitts and him together, this is going to be huge for Matty Ice. They were already loaded on the offensive side of the ball. I would have liked to see him do better with the because that's their glaring that's the glaring hole with the Atlanta Falcons, their defense. They did go out and get safety, Richie Grant. I think he's a really quality safety out of Central Florida, and he can translate nice to the next level. But other than that, you know, this was a more offensive-heavy draft for them. They did get a cornerback, Darren Hall, out of San Diego State, like you mentioned. Really good because they're secondary. They got two quality pickups that will help their secondary because we all know it was pretty much non-existent last year. They got another quality Stanford product out of the offensive line in Drew Dahlman. So, you know, that's a good pick. We'll see what Taquan Graham will do out of Texas. That's another good defensive pick that I think they got in the later round. Like I said, this draft is loaded with talent. So, overall, I'll give the Atlanta Falcons a B because they did address their needs. They did it in the later rounds, but going and getting a guy like Pitts, you know, is arguably one of the best players in this draft. So I'm happy what they did. So, but they definitely shouldn't even be considering getting rid of Julio Jones. That shouldn't even be talk.
We will actually see how this does end up panning out. I really, to me, and I'm being personal, this isn't like me analytically speaking. I think Julio Jones should be able to retire as an Atlanta Falcon, especially the way that Super Bowl went down for him while they lost a 28-3 lead. Julio was killing that secondary in New England. I don't know what was happening wrong, like every which way that Matty Ice tried to get him the ball. He was getting it in the toe tappers that he was getting going out of bounds. I mean, he did everything that he could at that receiver position. The only thing that bothers me about Julio Jones is him scoring the ball. That's it. That's the only problem Julio Jones has is that, like, on plays, if they throw it into the end zone, he can't come up with the catch at that time. But, like, in between the 20s and the 20s or going in the teeth of the defenses, every route that he could run on the route tree, he is that guy. He also had, a 300-yard receiving day also to go along with this crazy career that he has out of Alabama, a physical freak at the receiver position. But I sound like I'm his publicist, so I don't want to talk too much about Julio Jones, but I am a Julio Jones fan. I respect what he's able to do on the field. The next team I have is the Cincinnati Bengals, and it's interesting enough with them going with Ja'Marr Chase, the receiver out of LSU. They join him alongside his former teammate in Burrow. Now, this is the big situation that I'm looking at with Burrow, is that he had a season-ending knee injury that was very bad the way that he took the break, you know, and I'm waiting to see how he comes back and is able to perform because this guy's a monster at quarterback position and very, being very heady, making a lot of plays. If he had to pick up the, you know, on the run and take the ball or making a lot of those crazy passes, I think he has to fill in more. I think get more of a physical stature behind center, but this guy is a good quarterback, but I do want to see what he looks like after the injury. But the Cincinnati Bengals going with Ja'Marr Chase, a high-value wide receiver out of LSU. They also went with Jackson Carmen, an OT out of Clemson, knowing that he's dealt with a good guy in himself on the run with Trevor Lawrence, a more scramble-like quarterback, but they could make all of the throws as well. He also focused on the defensive side of the ball, up front, two DEs and a defensive tackle. Sticking with LSU in that theme, I think they wanted to keep Tigers around Bengals. Get it? That's funny. And the tail end of the draft, they also kept with another defensive end as well. I want to see how you guys feel about the Cincinnati Bengals team and how do you feel they did in the draft. It's very interesting. Ryan, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on the Bengals, especially in the AFC North, where it's overloaded with talent.
Here's how I feel. As much as I love the Chase pick, I feel like you can't throw to Chase from your backside, so they probably should have gotten tackle on that pick because when that guy's been hurt last year, you need to protect that guy. That guy needs to be protected from that offensive line. You need somebody where they're not going to get through the line like they did last year on Burrow, because he got hit a lot before the injury. So that's the only reason I was iffy on the Chase pick. So I gave them a B+ for that draft, because I was like, I like Chase. I like the idea that they know each other, but you can't throw from your backside.
Okay, Eric, your thoughts on Cincinnati, the job that they did in this draft? Do you agree that it might have been a B as a draft grade or better? Especially with Chase being a former LSU Tiger along with Burrow, do you think that this like kind of exists as hand in glove, or do you think that they still have work to do going up against the likes of the Ravens, the Browns, and the Steelers?
Well, they definitely have work to do. They still need to beef up their offensive line. Like, in all reality, Timeless, the Bengals should have got who the Lions picked. You know what I mean? You need a guy like that. We all saw what happened to Burrow. But with that being said, they couldn't go wrong with Jamar Chase. I mean, that was your quarterback's favorite target in college. They have a great rapport, great chemistry already. So this is going to be huge for them bringing him in, especially if A.J. Green can be healthy and stay on the field. Because with A.J. Green healthy and firing on all cylinders, I mean, he has the potential to be a top five wide receiver in this league. You know, we've seen his flash of greatness, but he cannot stay healthy. If they can have both of them healthy, this could be a really good situation. They did go out and get Jackson Carmen, offensive tackle out of Clemson in the second round, who I think was a really good pick for them. Can get in there and start right away. 6'5", 317-pounder to clog up the middle. I really like their pick. This draft was so deep. They got Joseph Asai, linebacker out of Texas. I think that was a really good pick for them. Out of Tulane, they got Carmen Sample. But I would have liked to see them go after another lineman. The defense isn't the problem with the Bengals. It's their offensive line. But overall, I like what this team's doing. They're in another tough division like the NFC West, like we talked about. The argument could be made for the black and blue division over there being one of the top dogs in the North. So overall, I did like what they, I'm happy with what they did. In the fourth round, they got East Carolina, Deontay Smith. We'll see how he pans out. Pretty good over there and what he did with East Carolina. But, again, they still need to address that offensive line. I would look and see what's the best available free agent offensive lineman on the market right now, because without an offensive line, there's going to be a problem. He already suffered a devastating injury. You don't want this guy getting hit too many more times like he was. So, but overall, I'd give them a solid B, Timeless. I have no problem giving them a B. They did they made some really good picks.
Yeah, I agree. I'll go with a B grade also, and you guys are making me like look at it better with them more or less having to focus on trying to look at the offensive line and trying to protect Burrow. With him coming off an injury, you know he's going to be like favoring that leg as best as possible, not being confident, trying to plant and things of that nature, especially on his drops or drop back, shall I say it the right way, and trying to make these throws downfield. But definitely bringing him some weaponry that he's comfortable with and the run that he was able to have while he was in college, especially with Chase and Jefferson being a receiver that went to Minnesota, it probably speaks volumes on the way that or the direction that this Bengal team went. Following this up with another receiver, and it's going like skill position after skill position, with them going with Waddle at first in Miami. So the Dolphins are the next team I want to go to with grading-wise, and Waddle was one of the receivers that they were throwing out there along with Chase, along with Devontae Smith, to see what these guys are going to do. But I can't be too mad at the way that the Dolphins went. Miami actually, to me, had an exceptional draft. I want to see how you guys feel about this. I'll come right back to you on this one. Jalen Waddle being the first pick out of Alabama. The one thing that I was worried about, because they were talking about if he fell to Detroit would have got him. He's injury-prone, or not to say injury-prone, But in one season, he suffered two big injuries, one that had him out all season long, and then he came back in the national championship game. His first catch was a crossing route. He ran across the field, ran out of bounds, and got hurt. And it's like, I don't know if he really, like, re-aggravated the injury, but this is something that is a concern. But looking across the board for this Miami Dolphins team, they actually got somebody that I know very well in Jalen Phillips, defensive end that causes havoc in the backfield, coming from UCLA, making the transfer to Miami and having a great season last year. Even though it didn't close out well for the Hurricanes, he did well at his position. Also with Hunter Long being a tight end out of Boston College, great hands, a big target downfield, and running back and Jared Doakes, a good guy for the Cincinnati Bearcats, and especially the run that they were on last year, losing that game late in the season because they were looking like they were able to run the table. So you have a winning regime coming to the Dolphins situation. Can they turn the corner and make this interesting in the AFC East? There's a lot of people that do not believe in what they saw in the Buffalo Bills. Can the Dolphins with this draft actually help themselves, put themselves at least in the discussion to try to win the AFC East? I don't want to over-talk this, but Eric, I'll come right back to you. Your thoughts on the Miami Dolphins.
I think their first, both of their first round picks were huge, you know, bringing in Phillips and Waddle. You touched on a good point of Waddle being able to be healthy. Is he going to be 100%? That's going to be a question that will be answered soon. And if he does, obviously we know he's going to be a quality receiver in this league. So to get two weapons like that right off the bat for the offensive side and defensive side of the ball, you're doing good. And then Javon Holland, a guy that, you know, I was able to see watching the Pac-12 being a USC fan, I think he's a quality safety. I don't know if he's quite, you know, NFL-ready right off the bat to get in there and make an impact, but this is a guy that can develop into a good safety in this league. And then also in round two, another quality pick, Notre Dame had one of the best offensive lines in college football. So, and Banks going in the second round and Liam Eichenberg, I think that was another good pick for the Dolphins. So I think the Dolphins are definitely headed in the right direction. There's no doubt about it in my mind. You know, I give them a solid B2 timeless. They went out and they addressed their needs. Also got a good tight end, Hunter Long, out of Boston College. So it would be a nice, you know, compliment to Gesicki. Weddle and Devontae Parker will be a good 1-2 tandem. My only concern there, I'm not fully sold on Tua. So the Dolphins still maybe have a quarterback dilemma there. You know, I don't know if he's the quarterback of the future. This will be his second year. There's some weapons around him. They got offensive line help. So we'll be able to see. The Dolphins are definitely an up-and-coming team in the East. I'm sold on the Bills. I don't know who's saying, you know, they didn't like what they saw from the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen has gotten progressively better each year. I don't see them slowing down. So that could just be someone blowing smoke. So, you know, it's someone's opinion. But if you look at it statistically and year by year, the Buffalo Bills have just been getting better and better. I don't see them falling off. You know, the Patriots, we'll see what Cam's able to do in his second full year there. We'll see what they're able to pull off. But I would still put the Buffalo Bills as the favorite right now on paper to win the NFC.
Hey, AFC, they're in the AFC, don't worry. I got you, don't worry. But this is a passionate discussion, and I like that, the fact that this is Flores and company going up against the boss, if you will, in Bill Belichick. Hopefully we'll see the bounce back in Belichick. Hopefully we can get there in time. We do have a caller in queue calling out of the 703, the 412-757, the 843, the 123, and the 456. Aaron, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
You know what, gentlemen? I'm good, man. I'm just going to get in right here where I fit in. So, speaking about the Miami Dolphins. Oh, what's up, Thomas? What's up? What's up, E? Speaking about the Miami Dolphins, man, I really like what they were able to do via the draft this year. And here's the thing, man. I popped in and we were talking about the Cincinnati Bengals being in a black and blue division. We always hear, you know, chirping about that whack division out in the NFC, who thinks they got some meat over there, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, You know, for me, gentlemen, you know, the AFC North and the AFC East is going to be fun to watch this year. You know what I'm saying? Because the Patriots are coming back. You know, they got all these guys coming back from the COVID list. You know, Bill Belichick, you know, is not going to take his L lightly. He went out and spent all this money on free agency, and the Buffalo Bills went out and signed Emmanuel Sanders to add to Stephon Diggs, and, you know, they're going to have something to say about it. And then this little Miami Dolphins team is on the come up, if you will. You know what I'm saying? I'm like that with us. I'm not really sold on Tua Tagovailoa as being a franchise guy. I really want to see him take all the snaps and all the reps and deal with all the loud bullets and not necessarily have a security blanket like he had last year behind him. With that being said, I like what they were able to do going out and getting Waddle. I really would have thought, and again, I was on the draft show on Thursday with the fellas, and I honestly thought that Devontae Smith should have been the pick there just for the fact of durability. Thomas, you hit the nail on the head. We started talking about this guy's durability at the beginning of your soliloquy there. You know what I'm saying? His durability is a question mark for me. And so I would have went with Smith if you want to go with the Alabama receiver. Fortunately for my wife, that he fell to Philadelphia. But at the end of the day, man, this Miami Dolphins team is going to be fun to watch.
Okay, Ryan, your thoughts on the Miami Dolphins and how this thing went down in this draft. Do you agree with the Waddle situation? Do you like this pick? They do have a lot of speed on the outside now for Tua Tagovailoa, and you have two people that don't feel highly about Tua. I feel like Tua came into a situation where it was a team struggling, and they couldn't go with Fitzpatrick but for oh so long. But people feel like Fitzpatrick was hot at the moment. To not rest him, I semi-agree with it, but it's like you got to see what you got into it for selecting him so high. But your thoughts on this draft and how this pans out into them moving forward in the AFC East? Can the Dolphins put themselves in a discussion to fight or at least eclipse the Buffalo Bills?
I don't know if they'll eclipse Buffalo. I think they can get themselves in the discussion if Tua can prove himself, and I think there's a chance he can. I like the Waddle pick only because Waddle is a guy who was one of his receivers. I agree with the caller that it probably wasn't the pick you should have made, but I like the pick because it's a guy who he knows. And as we've been talking about, guys you know are good picks when they're receivers. So for that reason, I like it because now when we're talking about signals at the line, like week one, he can give a signal to Waddle, and Waddle will be like, okay, I know what you're talking about. Let's do it. Let's run this and run it quick, and it won't be a problem. Now, the injury to Waddle, yes, does that worry me? Of course it does. Because it's not one injury, it's two. So that's worrisome in its own right. But if he can show me he can get in the building and go with the training staff and get himself right, ooh, he can be dangerous, really dangerous. So they've got about an A from me.
I'm going to go B plus. I do like the pick of Jalen Phillips because I'm biased in that one. Waddle, I mean, they can't go wrong with a receiver in Waddle. My eyes are more cautiously looking at him and his wheels because his wheels were what was burning defenses. They couldn't keep up with him. He's a shifty receiver, can scratch you. I don't want to call him Devontae Adams, but he can hurt you at the line of scrimmage and win at the second level of that defensive scheme, whether it's a – you know, they're trying to stop him short and making him make a play across the middle or things of that nature, but he could win on top, too, so that's interesting for them. Like I said, I'm a Dokes fan. I like him at the running back position out of Cincinnati as well, so I'm going to give him a solid B+. I don't know if this is an A just yet. I feel like this has to kind of turn the corner for a lot of these pickups, especially with them going with two offensive tackles. Those I felt like they could have went in a different direction, but at least they're trying to structure up front, so I give them a B+. nipping the A grade, but I feel like they could have done better. I don't know where or what to do right now because I'm, like, emotionally attached to the next team, right? And I don't like to talk about my boys when I'm on air, but I have to because they're one of the doggone teams in the league. And the Detroit Lions, as much as everybody's been going crazy and been like, Ty, this was great. They got a good pick in Penei Sewell. I got to do this like it's like it's a mix for me. Like, he's the best available pick at this point in time in the draft. But he's young. I think he's going to be 20. He was 19 coming out of college and all that we saw in that first raw year with him being in Oregon. But the Detroit Lions have focused on the front line year after year after year for Matthew Stafford. It's like they have a ton of pieces up front that they are trying to work to make this happen. Now we have Goff there, so it's like, why not go after a quarterback that everybody's feeling Goff isn't the guy? They did not go after a quarterback. So it's like they're sticking with their guns with Jared Goff. So it's like I understand the pick of getting Penei Sewell, this guy being a monster mauler up front, especially at the offensive tackle position, for this guy to be a 6'5", 331-pound tackle is great. But he's a youngster. He's going up against the likes of Khalil Mack and these guys at least twice a season. So he's going to have his hands full as soon as he comes into the league. They did a lot of stuff outside of the draft, looking at what the Lions are able to do outside of the draft. But within this draft, I'm going to butcher this, on Onwuzurike, the defensive tackle out of Washington, looking at the tape that they had during the draft, this guy is a run stopper. He causes havoc up front. Also with Amon-Ra St. Brown, this guy was one of the, or if not the, best receiver in the Pac-12. I think he had 41 catches and 7 touchdowns on an interesting season for the Trojans. And also Jamar Jefferson, the running back out of Oregon State. He's a speedster, but they're talking – so the weaknesses that they said is that he runs high. But the question that I have for him is why would we go after a running back while you still have Kerryon Johnson – and Swift there, and they have not moved AP yet, even though I think that they're going to end up moving AP, if I'm not mistaken. But they went after another running back, and he's another shifty type of running back, and not like your power back or your Kamaras, but I feel like they're going to try and make him like a Kamara type of running back. I want to see how you guys feel about the Detroit Lions and their draft starting to pick off at 7. Since you just got here, Sirius, I'll start with you first.
Well, you know what? This will sound like I'm coming at Thomas because this is what I always do, but I'm questioning a lot of their picks besides the first-round pick. You know what I'm saying? I actually agree with getting the offensive lineman from Oregon. That's the guy who I felt Cincinnati should have taken just to protect Joe Burrow. And I honestly believe that you kind of got to build from the inside out. But everything else that they did this draft had me really scratching my head. And so for me, I'm not about to give them a letter grade because they could prove me wrong and pan out to be decent. I'm just going to put an incomplete there because there's a lot of question marks that I have surrounding the Detroit Lions draft class. You went and grabbed a running back like Keith alluded to. And you really have, like, 4 of them in on your roster. And you've seen all 4 of them play at some point in time. It's a question mark for me, Thomas. It's a question mark for me.
We have one incomplete grade. That's the first time I've ever heard this. This is okay. Ryan, your thoughts following up, Aaron? Do you agree or disagree? Incomplete grade? How do you feel about the Detroit Lions and the way that they went in the draft?
Well, let me start off with this. I agree with the fact that they went with the right guy in the first round. They went with the guy that Cincinnati should have taken. I definitely agree with that. And I agree with that because when you just went out and got Jared Goff, you have to have somebody to protect him. So that was definitely a great move for them to make. Make sure that Jared Goff's protected. Make sure that if he's going to throw the rock, you're going to have somebody there to protect him. I know you guys have had bad draft picks early in drafts and late in drafts when it comes to the line, but you got to take that chance when you just traded for a guy who you want to throw the rock. So that's where I stand there. As far as draft grade, I'm iffy on it. I'm pretty low. I'm at like a low B right now, closer towards C with them. But real iffy, I need to see a lot more from these guys. Because from what I've seen on the tape, I like a lot of these guys. I just feel like certain guys were reached for a little early, and you could have got them a little later.
Okay, Eric, your thoughts on the Detroit Lions and the way that this draft went and your grade for them out the gate?
Well, I'm going to go on the record right now, gentlemen, and state it like this, okay? I'm going to throw this out here before I'm saying what I'm saying. Terrell Owens was a seventh-round pick. Amon St. Brown out of USC. I am shocked that he even fell this far. I guarantee you he's going to have a better career than Weddle. I watched this guy play every game last year. Unbelievable catches, okay? This guy has hands like a glue trap. The game between them and UCLA, he single-handedly won that game. 3rd and 20, with two defenders on him, goes up, grabs that ball, pulls it down as it's being wrestled from him. 1st down, the next play, game-winning touchdown pass. This guy runs routes great. He, like I said, his hands. This was a huge, huge pick for the Detroit Lions. I was worried watching their draft go down because they need offensive weapons. But Amon St. Brown is going to be one of the best receivers in the NFL. I'm shocked that he even fell to the 4th round. So that is a huge pickup. The Sewell pickup, good picks. But then we start getting questionable because we all know the Detroit Lions need offense. They go with McNeil out of North Carolina State. They go with Onwuzurike, if I butchered him, from Washington, which in my eyes is a good pick. I got to see him in the Pac-12. Good defender. But, them getting St. Brown for me salvaged their draft. You know, I give them a solid C. They only addressed one of their offensive needs. Jamar Jefferson at running back in the 7th round, I'm not sold on that. But the St. Brown pick and the Sewell pick, that's what saved their draft for me. I'm shocked that St. Brown lasted till the 4th round, but it worked in Detroit's favor. These are one of the guys that we talked about before the show. You got a lot of talent in this draft, and this is one of the diamonds that were mined and the Detroit Lions stumbled upon in the 4th round. And like I said, this guy is going to be a stud in this league, immediate impact.
I hope you're right, because this is one of the people. He said he's going to be better than Waddle.
Hey, go back and watch film on this guy, gentlemen. Like, I had the pleasure to watch every game. Go and watch film on this guy. I mean, his hands are literally a glue trap. This guy can go up and get balls. He doesn't drop balls. He runs great routes. A great pickup.
I hope you're correct. Then if he's as good, look, I'm going to do it fairly. If he's as good as Waddle, I'll apologize. I will completely.
Yeah, he's
going to
be better than Waddle, Tyrone. He's going to have a better. I mean, that's going to be Goff's main weapon right there.
Wow,
this guy is a stud, folks, and we'll see it soon. Like, I was shocked. I was mad the Niners didn't get him. Like, watching him all year last year, I'm like, this guy is one of the best wide receivers in all of college football. I mean, amazing. When you can catch balls like he did all year in traffic, double-teamed, and make it look easy. He made this look easy.
Okay, like I said, I'm going to do this fairly. If he's as good or better than Jaylen Waddle, I will apologize. And I want to be fair with saying this. I say in a 2 to 3 year clip. If he comes out the gate and does one of these Randy Moss rookie season, yeah. I don't think I'm comparing him to Moss, because I'm a Moss fan by far, and I don't think nobody will really have a Moss rookie season. I think the closest thing we saw was Odell. But if he has something going on good in the rookie season, that's great. But, like, 2 to 3 years down the road is where I feel like he'll have his, you know, his confidence and knowing what these defensive schemers are going to want to do against him. But if he's as good or better than Detroit, I will apologize for this steal of the draft being Amon St. Brown out of USC. Penny Sewell, I really feel like he's going to have his hands full and having to deal with a lot of guys that are going to be like, this guy's a quality pick out of Oregon, and knowing that there are analysts saying that this guy is a sure Hall of Fame pick. So they're thinking that he's a Hall of Fame tackle. They're measuring him up with the likes of Orlando Brown and Pace as well. Like I'm hoping that this is that type of guy. But we will see in the years to come. The next team that I'm going to is the Carolina Panthers. I think they stole J.C. Horn. I'm not wondering how did he got there, but this is a big pickup for them at the cornerback position. Physical, knows the game. His father played football as a wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints and also for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Joe Horn definitely knows what these receivers are going to want and like, because his father played the position not only in the NFC but in the AFC as well. Terrence Marshall, being a receiver out of LSU that they picked up. Brady Christensen, offensive tackle out of BYU, another big name that they picked up also. Thomas Fletcher, the long snapper out of Alabama, knowing that he's bringing that winning pedigree there as well. Should be interesting. Deontay Brown being an offensive lineman for this team. But I am still concerned with, outside of the draft, with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is their guy now. I don't know about them at the quarterback position. Darnold, make me a believer, and I'm actually taking this outside of the draft, but I want to see how you guys feel about the Carolina Panthers draft. I'm still hung up on the Sam Darnold situation for them to go after him and get rid of Teddy Bridgewater. If I were to stack up Bridgewater or Darnold, I felt comfortable in saying Bridgewater is a better quarterback than Darnold, but we'll see. I want to see how you guys feel about it. Ryan, I'll start with you first. The grading and the thoughts of the Carolina Panthers.
I don't mind the pick of J.C. Horn. Going into the draft, I had Asante Samuel Jr. graded ahead of him, so I would have liked that pick a little bit better just because I had him graded ahead of him. But I don't hate the pick of J.C. Horn because J.C. Horn is very good. He's one of those guys at the line who will stick you, and within 5 yards, he can cover. He can cover well. So I don't hate that pick, and they made a lot of very good picks after that. So I've got them with an A-plus grade for their draft.
Hmm. Whoa, we got an A-plus for Carolina. This is interesting. Okay. Eric, your thoughts on Carolina. Do you agree, A-plus or an A-grade? For them, I think that they did get the steal with J.C. Horn. How do you feel like the rest of this draft has panned out for the Carolina Panthers? Eric, are you there? Do we have you, Eric? Are you still available?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I was just looking at some things. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. You know, overall, I'm happy. I agree with the consensus with the panel so far. Going after Horn that high, kind of questionable. Ryan, Asante Samuels Jr. was higher on my list for cornerbacks as well. But nonetheless, this guy has the potential to be a lockdown corner for a lot of years. This guy has tremendous physical ability. He's very aggressive out there while he's playing. So, I mean, overall, I'm happy with the pick. They went out and got Terrell Marshall Jr. from wide receiver LSU, another quality pick. They got a guy that, you know, was there for Zach Wilson, was a big guy, Brady Christensen for tackle, and also another, you know, guy that I think is a steal, too. Like I said, this is one of the lowest, I mean, this draft class that we had this year is one of the best we're going to see, because there's so many guys that a guy like Tommy Tremble, and I'm not a Notre Dame fan. It's one of my worst enemies being a USC fan. But this team this year that they had a lot of NFL talent on it, especially on the offensive side of things. Tommy Tremble, another good pick, tight end they got. So overall, I think the Carolina Panthers did really good. Davion Nixon out of Iowa, I think he's another sleeper, a late-round guy that's going to do good in this league. Dominated for the Buckeyes this year. So overall, I'd give the Carolina Panthers a B, Timeless. So I think they had a pretty good draft class. The only question is at the quarterback position. I'm like you. I'm not sold on Darnold. But nonetheless, we'll see what he can do in a different system. And then we'll have a for sure judgment out on this guy.
The reason why I'm butchering this situation is because you mean to tell me that you are going all gung-ho on Sam Darnold and don't get a quarterback to at least, like, if he's messing up, like, we got somebody behind him. Like, they're going with the depth chart that they have there, and they're going to make the run off of that. I mean, seriously, am I being brutal? I mean, how do you feel about the draft class and then moving forward with the likes of Sam Darnold at the quarterback position?
You know, man, this one here is interesting because, you know, we all see Sam Darnold. We've seen what he's able to do. I understand it's very difficult to play well in that New York Jet uniform for any given length of time, unless your name is Curtis Martin or something like that. However, with that being said, I don't hate what the Carolina Panthers did, you know, via the draft. You know, I do like the J.C. Horn pick. This is a guy who we spoke about at length on Wednesday's show. A guy who, in my opinion, was up there with the top echelon, you know, cornerbacks of this draft. I do like the fact that he, you know, played with at South Carolina and is playing for the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, he can have friends and family members and, you know, people close to him at the games or whatever. In my opinion, I still would have went Surtain first because I thought he was just a better corner. However, with that being said, to each of her own, I love the pick there. So let's go into this. What happens?
All right. I am going to switch this up because I see that even with me extending this, I may run into trouble. So I'm going to try and do one person per team to try to cover this. If somebody's passionate about the pick or the way that the picks went, then I'll let people, like, try to jump in. But I try to get everybody's analysis on it. But I'm going to come to you next on this one, Eric. Your thoughts on the Denver Broncos, how they went. They just like Sirius just said, Patrick Surtain was right behind him at the cornerback position coming out of Alabama. Looking at the draft grade for the Broncos, how do you feel that this went out there in the state of Colorado where you are right now?
I think it's really good. Patrick Surtain, just like Sirius just said, that would have been my choice for the Carolina Panthers. But the Denver Broncos went out and got this guy. He's going to make an immediate impact. They got Javonte Williams overall at the 35 pick, running back out of North Carolina. That could be good. They got some offensive line help with Quinn Marinez. And then Baron Browning out of Ohio State. So this is a defense that is trying to rebuild themselves back. They got Bradley Chubb. I think this guy will fit in nicely. I don't know. You know, there's grumblings. I'm sure you guys have heard this. They went out and got Teddy Bridgewater. We talked about his impact that he could have competing with Drew Locke, coming to a system that has some good weapons in Quentin Sutton and Judy. So I like it. And then there's talk now that the Denver Broncos are trying their best to acquire Aaron Rodgers. I don't think this is going to be a situation like when Peyton Manning came in, because this team is nowhere near Super Bowl contention, even bringing in a guy like Aaron Rodgers. So Green Bay has a great offensive line to protect. The Denver Broncos, not so much. So Overall, with their draft, I give them a solid B. You know, they went out and beefed up their defense for sure. I don't know. I'm not sold 100% at their quarterback position, although I am a Teddy Bridgewater fan, and I think that he can succeed in Denver with this offense and the weapons around him. So overall, I'm happy with what the Broncos did, especially bringing in Surtain.
Wait, hold up. You're not sold that if you put Aaron Rodgers in that system, they can go all the way? I feel like they can go all the way with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Let me ask you. Their defense still isn't okay. The Denver Broncos, when Peyton Manning came in, had one of the best defenses the NFL has seen. You know what I mean? They have one of these defenses that's going to be talked about for years. They don't have that now. They have some holes on the offensive line side of the ball. Yeah, they do have some good quality wide receivers, but they're young. Nick Fangio is a defensive line guy, and you know what I mean? So I haven't been sold with what the Broncos have been doing for years. Their offensive play calling has been questionable. You know, we've seen them in close games last year against the Chiefs where they could have won that game, but it went down to play calling. You know, of course, bringing in a guy like Aaron Rodgers is automatically going to make your team better. There's no question about that. But I just don't see them being a complete team to win a Super Bowl.
But let me ask you this. We've also seen a situation where you get the right quarterback in there and your offensive line becomes better because he's calling better protections.
Oh, hands down. Now, if that happens, then of course, because he's going to have time. You know, I like the pick out of Wisconsin, Quinn Meredith. He's a quality guy that can get in there and start for the Broncos right away. But what are the Denver Broncos going to have to give up to acquire Aaron Rodgers? Because the 49ers threw the kitchen sink at the Packers before the draft, and they didn't budge on it. And he was really, you know, upset about that. He wanted to go to the Niners. So, you know, I'm kind of glad that didn't happen because there was a lot of stuff in there that was like, oh, my God, you're giving up an arm and a leg to get this guy. Now you need pieces because one player does not make a Super Bowl team. You got to have a supporting cast. So what are the Broncos going to have to give up to obtain Aaron Rodgers?
I'm not quite sure what they have to give up, but I have a feeling John Elway can swing that deal.
Okay. At the end of the day,
we're going to sit here and play the what-if, give-up game until they're blue in the face. Ultimately, you know, I don't think that acquiring Aaron Rodgers to the Denver Broncos as they are currently constructed automatically jumps them from where they've been over the past couple of years into a title contender. It does get them in the playoffs, and we all seen, you know, what happens when the team gets in the playoffs, you know, lucky bounce or this, that, and the third, and, you know, all of a sudden you're playing on Super Sunday. So, I mean, it does make them significantly more relevant and more worth watching because I'm going to keep it a buck with you. Ain't nobody watching Drew Lock, so nobody really cares too much to watch Teddy Bridgewater out there. So they're going to have to do something because I'm going to keep it a buck with you. They have one of the youngest and I think arguably one of the best receiving cores to come up in football. When you look at a Sutton, when you look at a KJ Hamler, when you look at a Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, you know, you just draft another running back. I think the cat from I think they got the guy from North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have an offense that can move the football, but can they stop anybody? Which is why I love the Patrick Surtain pick, because with the Patrick Surtain pick, you can now match up a new one-on-one. And, you know, I'm not sure what's going on with Von Miller, if he's coming back or not. I'm not sure what they're doing with their defense. But at the end of the day, this Denver Broncos team is not going to be the punching bag of that division too much longer, regardless of whether they get Aaron Rodgers or not.
Okay,
That's a good analogy right there, Sirius, 100%.
I want to keep this going because I want to get through all of the teams as much as I can.
If not, Sports City, please stay tuned because there'll probably be a show tomorrow so I can finish out at least the teams in the draft grade. We have 30 minutes left. Sirius, I'll come to you. Hopefully Mrs. Simmons is around you. I want, like, in-depth analysis from Mrs. Simmons. The Philadelphia Eagles get the pick that I wanted in Devontae Smith out of Alabama. Overall grade for the Eagles, how do you guys feel about it, especially in the Simmons home? I know Malik is going crazy for the birds out of the Keystone State.
You know, honestly, man, we kind of like the pick. You know what I'm saying? We kind of like what they did. You know, again, getting some more weapons for that offense. You know, DeSean Jackson is gone. You know, Alshon Jeffrey couldn't stay healthy. We don't know what's going on with Zach Ertz, whether he's gone or I don't remember him. I remember seeing where he signed anywhere. You know, I really would have liked to have seen them get some offensive line so they could block for Miles Sanders. But at the end of the day, picking up Devontae Smith was huge. It was the right move. It was a shocking move because they had to trade up to get him. But, again, it was a great move. The wife is happy about it. She still says Carson Wentz sucks, and she's excited.
I feel bad for Carson Wentz because Jessica's a good and cool lady. And if you get her pissed off, the only person that can do that is Aaron Simmons, so I feel some type of way. Okay, so, Ryan, your thoughts on the Chicago Bears, them going after Justin Fields, and I know that you were breaking down how they try to unfairly try to paint a picture around Fields and bringing up him battling his health issue of, I think, getting seizures or having epilepsy, and I don't like that he fell this far when he was one of the talks of the draft, especially with his run while being at Ohio State. But overall, how you feel about the Bears did in this draft, especially getting Justin Fields at 11?
I feel they did a great job getting Justin Fields. I don't think what I was breaking down was how unfairly it was portrayed. I feel like what I was breaking down in the room you're speaking of is what people don't understand about what came out and what the NFL teams were looking at, which is exactly this, Timeless. They were looking at, okay, with epilepsy, some people grow out of it, some people don't, right? So they were like, is Justin the type that's going to grow out of it or not? Because if you take a big, heavy shot at the NFL level, and yes, I understand you take heavy shots at the college level, but let's face it, dudes are bigger at the NFL level. And you're going to take harder shots at the NFL level than you are at college because not every dude is that dude at the college level. You got some dudes who are never going to make the pros at the college level, right? So with that being said, every dude is that dude at the NFL level. There aren't any dudes that you can't worry about taking a big shot from. You're going to take a good, heavy shot from all of them. So that's what they're worried about is, okay, if he takes a good head shot where his head snaps back, do I have to worry about him having a seizure? That's what I was kind of breaking down. Now, do I fault the NFL for that? No, I can't really fault the NFL for that because if I'm not thinking about that, I'm not doing my due diligence as an organization, just like when a kid is injury prone with his knee at the college level, I have to evaluate that. It's the same kind of idea. So, but I love the pick for them because they need a quarterback and they haven't had a really good quarterback in a really long time. And I feel like this kid can be really good.
Okay,
and
so this is going to get pretty interesting.
And I got – go ahead.
No, finish. No, I was going to elaborate afterwards. Go ahead.
Okay. And I got them with an A-plus grade for their draft.
You're high on Chicago, huh? Really? Okay.
A lot of that goes with getting Justin and everything else they got. Moving up to get Justin was a stellar move to me.
Okay, I'm actually in a situation where I don't want to keep throwing big grades around, but I'm going to go next with this team because I don't like them so much, or like I snarl at the Dallas Cowboys, but I'm going to actually give the Cowboys a grade A. They concentrated on the defensive side of the ball. For them to get Michael Parsons out of Penn State was huge, especially with Sean Lee retiring. They actually went after two linebackers in this draft. And crazy enough, the way that the Cowboys were losing, I can't potentially put all of it on the offense. The offensive line was injured. I think as of them getting healthy, hopefully they can stay good for 17, 18 weeks. They'll be okay. But with them to focus on the side of the ball that was hurting them the most, with the defensive side of the ball, Dallas was focused. I don't know if I want to give Jerry Jones as much credit. I'll say as an organization, I hope somebody was talking to him, but I feel like he pulled a lot of the trigger. But I have to give Jerry and Jerry's world and these Cowboys an A grade, especially for them to get a big quality linebacker who's a physical freak as Michael Parsons out of Penn State. And the way that he came on stage and jumped into Roger Goodell's arms looked like a damn Dirty Dancing movie or whatever. But for Goodell to catch him is another thing, too. Goodell must be strong as heck to catch these dudes. But Cowboys get an A from me, and I'm biting and pinching myself that I'm giving them this high of a grade. I'm going to come to you next on this one. Eric, your thoughts on the Los Angeles Chargers. That's right. I got it right. I said it right. Your thoughts on the grade. How do you feel like they're going to move forward after this draft class?
I like what they did. They went out and got offensive line help, Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern, and another, Asante Samuels Jr. falling to the second round, getting him out of Florida State.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
You hear me?
Okay. Yeah, you cut out.
Yes.
I don't know if it was. Okay, keep going.
Okay, yeah. No, I've been here. I said I like what they did. Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle out of Northwestern. They were able to land Asante Samuel Jr., fell to the second round. That was kind of shocking to me. So that was a great pick. Josh Parker out of Tennessee, pretty quality wide receiver. We'll see what he can do. I do like Trey McKitty, tight end out of Georgia. We talked about how Georgia, they have some big, talented players. This is one of them. But after that, I give them, I would say about a C+ timeless. I think they could have done a little bit better. I would have went with someone on the offensive. I mean, I know they went and got an offensive tackle, but I would have looked for more offensive weapons in that, aspect. But, nonetheless, they were able to get one of the big-time defensive guys in Asante Samuel Jr. So, they did decent. I give them a C+.
Okay, moving right along, I'll come right back to you, Mr. Simmons. Your favorite team in the AFC, the Patriots. How do you feel about them going after Mac Jones? A lot of people felt a certain way about him at the quarterback position. Him getting selected 15 actually secured the situation behind Cam Newton. I think Cam will probably end up being the starter unless Mac comes out the gate and looks great in preseason and in our training camp. Your thoughts on your favorite team in the AFC? We might have lost them. Okay, so there we have it. Ryan, your thoughts on the Patriots and the draft grade that they get, and how do you feel them moving forward?
I feel like to get Mac Jones, where they got Mac Jones was good. Because if I didn't have him graded high, I had him as a first rounder, but not high. So to get him where they did, I feel like they did a good job. Overall, I feel like they're probably a B to low A overall with their draft.
Okay, fair
enough.
That's where
I got them.
All right. Eric, your thoughts on the Arizona Cardinals? I know you don't want to break them down. This is in your division. They look like they are going to be the stronghold in the division with all that they've been able to pick up. This is going to be very interesting to see if you guys can fight them off or watch them try to take over the division with the additional pieces that they've been able to add. Your thoughts on their draft grade as well, with the likes of Zeven Collins coming there also.
Yeah, I have no problem breaking down these guys. I have more animosity towards the Seahawks and the Rams, to tell you the truth. So I don't have anything but good things to say about the Cardinals. You know, I keep it real, man. I'm unbiased. So we're going to call it like it is. The Cardinals are doing some big things. They were able to get Zeven Collins, a linebacker out of Tulsa. You know, they're beefing up that defense, so it's really good. They got, I mean, this is the only questionable thing to me. You know, they got great wide receiver tandem, and they have quality young wide receivers coming up, and they added another one in the second round, you know, Rondale Moore out of Purdue. You know, he's kind of small in my eyes, you know, being 5'7", 181 pounds. So this may be a guy they're going to be using for kickoff returns. You know, he's got some good speed. But I would have continued along with the defense, because that's when you're facing the Rams and the 49ers, they are juggernauts at the defensive end. You know, the 49ers had a record amount of injuries last year for any team. Our defense was absolutely decimated, and now we got them fully healthy coming back, so it's going to be a big thing. You know, the Niners defense could shut down pretty much anybody, just like the Rams can when they're firing on all cylinders. So I would have liked to see them continue the trend going on the defensive side of the ball. Nonetheless, they did after that. You know, they got Victor Dumonkey out of defensive end out of Duke. I think this is a guy falling to the sixth round is another quality, a guy that can come in and make some impact. You know, they got the safety out of Cincinnati, James Wiggins. You know, Cincinnati puts on a quality team. They do. The Big East isn't too, you know, high up there as far as NFL standards. They don't get the praise that they deserve. I think it's another quality pick that this guy can, in a few years, transfer, you know, into a good NFL talent. So, I mean, overall, I like what the Cardinals did. They did address their defensive needs just later in the draft, which some of these guys are going to turn out to be gems. It's just going to take a few years to get acclimated. And you know, with practice, you got to get, you know, the NFL is a huge leap. It's bigger, faster, stronger. So, but overall, I give them a solid B. I like what the Cardinals did.
Okay, I will go next with the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm going to give the Raiders a solid B+. They not only got a steal with getting Leatherwood at the offensive tackle position out of Alabama, a stud and a star up front for this team, but they focus on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that they have enough pieces offensively that they didn't really need to focus on the offensive side of the ball. With the running back stable that they have, the receiver that they have also, they also try to help the back end with the safeties that they picked up. They picked up two safeties to help the back end for the Las Vegas Raiders. With guys that are making plays, and the one thing that was hurting them defensively is that they were getting injured within the season too. So I think the Raiders will be charged up with the addition of safety Trayvon Morick out of TCU, and also getting Divine Diablo as well. And Tyree Gillespie is the third one that they have at the safety position. So quality pickups to help the tail end, especially in a very pass-heavy division in the AFC West. I give them a solid B+. I'm nipping an A as well. I really want to give them an A also, but they did focus on the need that they had to try and address the strong passing hold of the AFC West. I give the Raiders a lot of credit for what they were able to do. I'll come to you on this one, Eric. Your thoughts on the Miami Dolphins? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, we kind of, you know, chopped this up earlier, you know, and just kind of brought it all into one. But this was another huge pickup for them. You know, you're a Miami guy, great defensive end in Phillips. This is going to help them out tremendously. Both of their first-round picks were quality picks. So I like the, you know, direction the Dolphins are heading up. They're definitely heading up in the AFC East. And it's going to be a fun division to watch. And, you know, I give them a solid B+ with their overall draft.
Not fair. I wasn't paying attention. We did go over the Dolphins, so I'll give you the Washington football team.
your thoughts on their grade. I apologize. I'm trying to move quick because we only got 15 minutes. But your thoughts on Washington, what they were able to do in this draft.
I don't know, Timeless. I'm not too high on their draft, to tell you the truth. We'll see their quarterback situation. I'm not sold on the situation they got going on there. They did get Jamin Davis out of Kentucky, a pretty good linebacker. Samuel Cosmi out of Texas, offensive tackle. I watch North Carolina. I'm a Tar Heel guy, so I do pay attention to their football team, although that's not my number one team in football. So I think Dyami Brown could, in a few years be a quality wide receiver in this league. But overall, I'm going to have to give them a C. If I was them, I would have tried to, I don't know how you guys feel about their quarterback situation, but I think they're in dire need of getting a quarterback. So if I was Washington, I would have tried to trade up by any means necessary and get out some of these quarterbacks that slipped in the later round. You know what I mean? I didn't want Mac Jones on the Niners, but it could have been a good pickup for the football team. Justin Fields was, I'm shocked that he won 11. The Bears, like Ryan touched on, they got a great deal. I think this guy has the ability to be a great football player in this league, and he was unfairly persecuted about his epilepsy, which didn't affect any of his football career from Pee Wee up. So, I don't know why that came out there. It's like the media loves negativity and loves kicking you while you're up or kicking you while you're down. So, but overall, I give the football team a C minus.
Feel of the draft, he fell to the seventh round. Dax Milne, the receiver from BYU, that was basically the go-to guy for Zach Wilson. I don't know how he fell that low. Disgusting.
See, that's what
I'm
saying, Timeless. We're going to see some of these guys. Like, you should be extremely happy. I'm thinking about getting a St. Brown jersey. I love the guy. Amazing talent. Like I said, I got to watch every game of this guy play, and he blew my mind. I was like, this is one of the best receivers in all of college football. Shocked he wasn't even in discussion with Weddle and these other guys. Like, it blew my mind. The Pac-12 doesn't get the notoriety that it deserves, just like all these other conferences. If it's not the powerhouse SEC, nobody's talking about them. And, like, all these Hall of Famers, they weren't first-round picks. They were all picked in the later rounds. So, like you just said, we're going to see a lot of these later-round receivers turn into studs, and guys like Weddle, I'm sorry, fold. So I think Weddle is a good receiver. He's played with Alabama. They always get notoriety, but a lot of these guys that play for these big-time schools, they don't transition that into the NFL. They let the pressure get to them, or they have these big heads, and they expect things to go their way because they always have. And these other guys that have had to work hard and bust their tail their whole lives and be on teams and make things happen on teams that aren't loaded like these SEC teams, and they turn out better because they're the harder worker, they get better, they have great football IQs, and we're going to see that. We're definitely going to see that this year because how loaded this draft was.
Again, like I said, Dax Milne fell to a seventh-round pick. One, I hope Washington doesn't drop him. I know he'll be fighting for a spot because Washington receiving core is decent. If they do, Detroit, I hope you're listening to me. Please go get Dax Milne. This guy's a downfield threat, and he makes a lot of crazy catches, too, just to say the least. I'm going to come right back to you, Ryan. I was fair enough to give Eric his run with the Niners. I'm going to give you your run with Big Blue and the Giants. And how you feel about your team did in the draft? How do you feel about this, Ryan, grade-wise as well?
Moving down, even though it's not a Dave Gettleman move, I liked getting the wide receiver. I liked especially a guy who we can call a Swiss Army knife because he can play any one of those wide receiver positions. He will probably most likely play the slot for us. And I liked it for this reason. We got a wide receiver in Shepherd who's one hit from out of this NFL. So therefore you need a guy to plug in. We got the guy who we traded for out of Detroit, who you don't know if he's going to play a full season. You know, so all of these factors factor into needing a guy who can play any position you need him to play. So I liked that. There were some of the other later round picks that I was iffy on, like the running back. I was like, I don't know, if you wanted a running back, couldn't you have gotten a better one? There were some better running backs at that point. So as much as I want to give them like a B, I gave them like a B minus.
Okay, so next we have the Indianapolis Colts. And, Eric, I want to see how you feel about the Colts in this draft, their draft grade as well. Do you feel like they had an honest situation, especially with losing a guy like Phillip Rivers and them filling it quick as possible with Carson Wentz coming out of Philadelphia? Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, we'll just have to see, Timeless. I'm definitely not sold on Carson Wentz, but maybe a change of scenery is what he's needed. I think he was overrated. This is a guy that can't stay healthy. Now, if he stays healthy under all the right circumstances, he can obviously have put together pretty good seasons. But we'll have to see what they do there. Again, this is a team that went defensive heavy. They already had a good defense. This team needs some more offensive weapons. Kitty Payne out of Michigan, I think, was a good pickup for them. They went right back to the defensive line in the second round. And then they got Kylan Grayson tied in at SMU. That could pan out to be pretty defense. And then, of course, they drafted Sam Eilinger out of Texas. So, you know, this is a guy that maybe can compete with Wentz, and we'll see what happens. So, other than that, I'm not too sold on what they did in the draft, Timeless. I think they could have done a lot better. They already have really good defense, this team, and they went back to the well and stockpiled when this team needs offense around Carson Wentz. I would have definitely got some offensive line help for him because this is a guy that's injury prone, and you want him protected as best as you can. But I do like the Grayson. You know, they went out and filled the Costanzo retiring, so they went out and filled that hole. But other than that, you know, they're getting a C from me. They could have done a lot better.
I will go over the next two for the Tennessee Titans. It speaks volumes on their doggone coach and Vrabel. Vrabel went defensive heavy, and he did a quality job defensively, especially a steal at the cornerback position, and Caleb Farley being a big pick out of the ACC, being a Virginia Tech guy, a guy that has good closure speed and breaking passes up as well. Got a few interceptions also. I think this helps them. I still wonder what they're going to do at the quarterback position. Tannehill actually had a good two seasons with them, but I think the question mark still remains in front of Ryan. If he can make this situation happen, because we all know what Derrick Henry brings to the table, Ryan, you're not only going to have to fight out of the AFC South, you're going to have to fight the likes of the rest of the AFC to get to another AFC championship. That's where the question mark remains. I go a solid B-plus for the Tennessee Titans. The Minnesota Vikings, boy, do these guys get on my nerves, because for some odd reason, they have been drafting the best in the past three seasons. I give them a solid A for them to concentrate up front on the offensive line. Them actually getting rid of Riley Reiff, not only a tackle that was from Detroit, they brought him to Minnesota, they're getting rid of him now. They got Kellen Mond at the quarterback position. Wink, wink. Kirk Cousins, you better pick it up, or they will be putting this guy in. This guy's a mobile guy that can make passes down the field and has been making a storm down there while he was in Texas A&M as well. A good quality quarterback. Amir Smith-Marset, definitely a quality receiver out of Iowa. Definitely a big pickup for them as well. And also another stud that they picked up was Chaz Surratt out of North Carolina, a mainstay and a quality guy that they talked about being a part of the Tar Heels. I give them an A, man. I mean, Minnesota's been killing it year after year and have been improving. The one lack of situation that they've been dealing with is their offensive line consistency, and if the quarterback could seal the deal on a weekly basis.
I wish we still had Sirius here because I would definitely love to give him Pittsburgh. I want to see how you guys feel about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ryan, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on the Steelers, especially with them getting Najee Harris. This is probably the steal of the draft.
I love them going out and getting Najee Harris because we all know Pittsburgh does, just like the Patriots, a lot of running back by committee. So he's going to get his yards, but he's not going to get a whole lot of usage, which is going to save him for later in years, which means he's going to be a burner. He's going to burn you for years to come. He's going to be a guy that's really going to burn. And I like that. I also like a lot of their other picks. I gave them an A.
Okay, Easy. Your thoughts on the Browns? Newsom went first at the cornerback position. How do you feel their draft grade went, especially being in the AFC North alongside this Pittsburgh Steelers team?
You know, I think the Browns got better. I like what they did. You know, Greg Newsom, legendary, his father. So I think this was a huge pickup for them. They got good defense. They got another good linebacker out of Notre Dame, like I touched on earlier. This Notre Dame team was loaded with NFL-ready talent. So going out and getting Kamara, I think, was huge. This guy is going to be an immediate impact in that already deep linebacker core they got. I like Anthony Schwartz out of Auburn, another offensive weapon for the Baker Mayfield show down there. They went out and got another team that I touched on too, Cincinnati. They don't get enough credit. So it was good to see two of their guys get drafted. Hudson, good quality offensive lineman. I like Togia out of Ohio State. You know, so I'm going to give them a solid B+, Timeless. They did really good. And another sleeper, in my eyes, is the running back out of UCLA, Demetri Felton, that they got. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I could even bump it up to an A-. The Cleveland Browns went out and addressed needs, and they got backup plans for the already depth that they had. So they just added more depth to this team. I think, I think this team is poised to make another run at the division title. And I think they're the favorites on paper right now for that. So, but, yeah, really happy with their draft. They did really well.
I will go next with the Baltimore Ravens, A-, especially with them focusing at the receiver position while this team has struggled to put pieces around Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson still being able to give these guys double-digit wins. Of course, they have a stronghold at the tight end position, but for them to go out there and get Bateman out of Minnesota – and not only him being a quality receiver out there in the Big Ten, they also got Tylan Wallace, who was a stud in the Big 12, even though I don't like giving the Big 12 credit. But offensively, they are a powerhouse within that conference. Defensively is where a lot of my questions lie. But Tylan Wallace was a monster at the receiver position. At least that these guys could come in here and set some difference. And Ben Mason being a quality fullback out of Michigan, too, where I was able to see a good deal of him. And him being this late fifth-round pick that they were able to pick up. I think they did a quality job in Baltimore. Ryan, your thoughts on the Saints? The Saints grade, especially after losing Drew Brees.
I like the Saints draft. I didn't love the Saints draft. I thought they needed a quarterback, and they didn't go out and really get a quarterback, especially not one that I love. So I got them with more of a C grade for that because I'm not sold on Jameis. I know some people are. I'm not. And I feel like you need to get somebody in there who's going to compete with him because Hill's not. Hill is a gadget guy. He's not going to compete with him for the starting job.
Okay, if you are listening and you're not here, it's best for you to call in 929-477-2759. We are nearing the end of all of the teams, but this will go into overtime. Eric, this is the biggest story of them all draft long. the Green Bay Packers are in danger, or better yet, a song that I love from the 80s from a movie that I watched all the time, especially with my family, and watching this in the movies. It was a movie called Top Gun, and the song was called Highway to the Danger Zone. And Aaron Rodgers took it there at the beginning of the draft, saying that he no longer wants to play with the team. And now he's to a point that he's adamant if they don't make any changes, he will either retire or walk away from football, however this goes down. But Aaron Rodgers, the league's MVP, is making one heck of a stink at one heck of a time. Your thoughts on the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, hey, Timeless, do me a favor and bring me in on the other line. This phone that I'm on is going dead, so I don't want to cut off mid-sentence, but I'm in the queue ready to go.
I got you. You're good to go. Okay, so your thoughts on the Green Bay Packers?
This is huge, but I understand his frustrations. You know, watching Brady continue to dominate and him being on a quality Packer team, and year in and year out, but they can't get over the hump. That's the problem. And if Aaron Rodgers wasn't there, I mean, this team is not built to get over the hump. They need to have a way better defense. You know, their offense, there's no question about it. Their offense can bang with the best of them in the NFL, especially when you got Aaron Rodgers, who's MVP last year, three-time MVP. This guy has dominated his whole career. They have never put together a quality defense around him except for the year that they won the Super Bowl. They were loaded. We all know A.J. Hawk, Clay Matthews, they had one of the best 1-2 linebacker tandems in all of football back then. But they haven't been able to maintain that. They go out and draft Eric Stokes out of Georgia, a quality guy at cornerback. Both of the Georgia cornerbacks got drafted in the second round, one in the first, one in the second. So that shows a lot. They tried to get help there. They went out and got another quality offensive lineman, Josh Myers. Amari Rodgers out of Clemson, wide receiver. That is not the problem Green Bay has. They have good quality receivers, the young receivers coming up. So, and going out and getting another offensive lineman in the fourth round and then waiting till the fifth round to get a guy out of Florida, to Darryl Slayton, defensive lineman. I understand his frustrations. This is a team that needs to get better on the defensive side of the ball. And he's tired of coming up short. And like I said, he wanted to go to the 49ers. They offered a nice package for him. The Packers turned it down because they said, there is no way on God's green earth that we're getting rid of Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, and now him going to the Broncos, I don't see, especially after the draft, I don't see them working out a deal with the Broncos because they don't have a quarterback that you can give back to Green Bay that's going to be exciting. Yeah, they got Bridgewater, but still, I mean, come on, Bridgewater to Rodgers? We're talking about the best player, arguably the best player in all of football right now. So it is a head-scratcher to trade him, kind of like the Houston Texans. They got their hands tied. Deshaun Watson is unhappy. But how do you get rid of the best player on your team? How do you justify that, even though he wants out of it? So, but if I'm the Packers, I'm getting with Aaron Rodgers and saying, okay, hey, what could we do to make this work? Well, you know, because we're not going to trade you. But if he goes out and says he's going to retire, I think the Packers, if it was me as the GM, I'm going to explore the options, but I'm going to make the unconventional decision and be like, okay, retire. Because I don't think they can get enough back quality of player, Aaron Rodgers. It's not realistic. Unless I'm getting first-round picks every year for the next 5-6 years, that's the only reason I'm going to consider that. You know what I mean? Because then you can, you know, get lucky and get a quarterback in one of those years. But it's kind of a tough situation. I understand his frustration, but, you know, the Green Bay's came out and stated they're not going to trade him. So it's going to be interesting to see what folds out. So we may see one of the best players in the game retiring on a situation like Barry Sanders because they aren't in a winning mentality, you know, and it's sad to see. So, but I'm watching my eyes on this closely. There's grumblings out here in Denver. Everybody's on edge thinking that this is a possibility. We kind of chimed in on it a little bit on this show. So we're just going to have to see how this plays out. But, you know, I definitely understand his frustration, Timeless. This team has had a good offense. They've had no defense. If they would have had a good defense, they would have went to the Super Bowl last year. If they would have had a good defense, they probably would have won multiple championships already in the last 6 years. It's never been the question about the offside of the ball for the Packers. It's been their defense. And they have done nothing to get to a championship-caliber defense throughout these years. So, and it's frustrating as a player like Aaron Rodgers. You're the best in the league. You're carrying this team, but you cannot win championships. And ultimately, that's what we play for in professional sports. You play to win championships, especially guys competitive with Rodgers. So it's an unfortunate situation, but I completely agree and understand his frustrations.
Okay, next up, I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. I give the Buffalo Bills a solid A-. Them getting Rousseau, a guy that I know so well out of the University of Miami, a quality defensive end. That's been a strong piece to the puzzle for the Buffalo Bills, especially in this past year or so. Their defense has actually been able to stay toe-to-toe with their offense. Their offense has been the powerhouse, and Josh Allen making another step to being not only an elite quarterback, but a threat for a lot of defenses to try and slow down a mobile quarterback with a huge arm that can make all of the passes on the field. I think Buffalo filled in the gaps as best as they possibly could, especially for the AFC East, and I feel like they could come right back to the top of that division and take this by storm. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I think the Dolphins are probably the lone team that threatens them unless Bill Belichick puts together a crazy recipe to get back to the top of the division. But right now I think Miami's the only team that threatens them within the division. I think the Jets will make a turnaround with the pieces that they do have, but I don't think they are instant impact to be atop the division unless Zach Wilson really is the truth and I've seen this becoming before it happened. I'm going to come to you on this one, Ryan. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I know we were heavy on Brady. Your thoughts on their draft grade, and then we'll get into the three teams that did miss the first round with the Chiefs, Rams, and Seahawks, and then we'll close out.
I thought Tampa Bay did a good job for what they needed because they still have Brady under contract, and they're really trying to help Brady out. I also like their quarterback pick because he can be brought along by Brady, and by the time Brady's gone, he can be the guy. So I feel like they're set in a situation where once Brady leaves, they can still be a hot, hot team if they play this card right. And if he is as good a quarterback at the next level as I believe he can be. So I gave them an A- for this because I'm just unsure of how good he's going to be at the next level. As much as I believe he's going to be really good at the next level, because I'm unsure because I haven't seen him play at the next level, I gave him an A-.
Okay, I'm going to go next. Kansas City Chiefs, they are one of the teams that did miss the first round. Starting in the second round, they have Nick Bolton, the linebacker out of Missouri, a good, speedy guy in the middle of the field, can make a lot of the picks. He's fourth ranked out of the linebacker position. I feel they did a quality job. I'm going to give him a solid B-. They did steal my little cousin out of Cornell Powell out of Clemson. Big quality. Well, not big. He's not big. The small, speedy receiver, great hands, strong runner, and he was one of the main go-to guys for Trevor Lawrence and was his main receiver in his pro day, too. So I think Cornell saved himself a lot with his offseason that he had with Trevor Lawrence as well and what he was able to do with the run while him and Trevor were together. So I give a solid B- for what the Kansas City Chiefs were able to do with it. I don't think they really needed too much out of draft anyway. as they're constructed, you still have to try and beat them. They weren't convincingly beaten to the doggone Super Bowl. So right now, you have to go out there and beat Kansas City. Draft-wise, draft grade-wise, I say B-minus, but they're still a threat. I don't care what anybody has to deal with. Like, they got a bulletin board, everything on there, including Mahomes, Tyreek, Kelsey, and the rest of the Jackson 5. I'm going to come to you on this one. Eric, your thoughts on the Los Angeles Rams, how this panned out for them, and your draft grade also.
Timeless, I give them an F. No, I'm totally kidding.
Ooh.
You know, this is one of my this is one of my nemesis. Is that no? Actually, I do not give an F. You know, this is a team that was my heart and soul as a youngster, but when they moved out of LA,
we lost Eric, and I don't think we'll be able to get him back either. So I didn't really get his draft grade. I'll try to fill in for him for the Los Angeles Rams. I had a whole different page set up. The Los Angeles Rams with Atwell at the receiver position, I think that helps fill him in. Even though he's a speedster, he is very small. He's 5'9", 155. Hopefully his shiftiness will help in the midst of what they're able to do with Matt Stafford. I know Stafford likes the smaller receivers that make a difference across the middle. That'll be big. Ernest Jones, a linebacker out of South Carolina as well. And I'm looking at Ben Skronek, a quality receiver also out of Notre Dame. Big name guy, big school, especially with Ian Book making a lot of those big throws to him also. I'll go a solid B-minus for what they were able to do. He's a 6'3", 220-pound receiver. I think he could definitely help make a difference for this Rams team, but a lot of his quality pickups, especially at the receiver position, have to go hand-in-hand with what Matthew Stafford presents. Last but not least on this one, Eric, your thoughts on the Seattle Seahawks, and give me a closeout as well as we get out of the door. Your draft grade for the Seattle Seahawks. Ryan, I'm sorry, Ryan.
For the Seahawks? I thought the Seahawks did a really good job. I thought the Seahawks had an A draft with everything they picked up. The only thing I think I wish they would have picked up is somebody could really give Russell a better target. But other than that, I feel like they had an A draft.
Okay, and also give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut the doors here at the brunch.
Other than that, anybody listening, go check out Sports Rumble, my podcast, Relentless, because I'm trying to really build that. And other than that, I'll check everybody later.
SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs, the merchandise. I even got two more hoodies coming to me. Shout out to everybody that's been holding us down throughout the weeks and me going through every little situation I'm going through, but I'm trying to get back in the saddle and make everything right. Try to get back in here. I want to do it tomorrow. If not Tuesday, I know the buffet will be here. The baseball buffet, I think, probably be tomorrow or Tuesday, but they're loaded. These guys are getting good feedback. Quality baseball information. The cookout will be back here on Wednesday as well. I should be on the West Coast, but I'm still going to be doing shows from the West Coast as best as I can, especially for the brunch on Sunday. I got to be here for the fellas. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again, and if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, chefs, Sports City, chefs, kaboom. Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs. Yeah. Cabbie. Ties.
Woo! Connecticut.